This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday.
Bienvenue, willkommen, and hey, how you doing? Yeah, this is an actual international episode of what's our podcast called? Sunday's Supplement.
You're rubbish.
Haven't done it for a while. I've forgotten what it was called.
That's all right. Hello. I speaks good English.
Yeah, but this is Izzy.
Hello.
My thing.
Beautiful and glamorous assistant. I'm the one who opens the boxes and then shows that there is nothing in them, and then I climb in them, and then you dismember me, and then you get in trouble with the police.
See, now what you've done there is you've confused me with Paul Daniels.
And myself with Debbie McGee, which often people do confuse me with Debbie McGee.
Not a lot, but they do.
Often they do, because we like the same scarves and we both shop in Waitrose, so...
I just made a really poor reference to Paul Daniels, which I don't think you got because you're too young.
All I remember about Paul Daniels was I used to watch Penn and Teller when they did their Channel 4 thing in the UK. They had a thing saying, "It's so easy, Paul Daniels could do it," which we said a lot at school. So every time somebody mucked up, like in finger painting, everybody went, "Oh, that's so easy, Paul Daniels could do it." So that's the only thing I know about Paul Daniels. That, and I think he might be one of the Judi Dench, Derek Jacobi elf people who are actually elves, but nobody wants to talk about it because they're elves.
I think that succinctly sums up what this episode's about this week.
Debbie McGee could be an elf as well, actually. She's got that kind of fragility about her. But also, you know, she's got to be strong in order to hide in all those boxes.
We're having an international episode this week.
With Paul Daniels.
Because we've... No one outside of the UK is going to know who Paul Daniels is.
Imagine Paul Daniels as a kids entertainer who looks like an elf, who does magic. And when I say magic, I mean your classic dazzly woohoo kind. None of your scary nonsense. None of your, you know, shooting guns or floating over buildings. None of that. Just basically putting his wife in a box and stabbing her and she's not stabbed. That sort of magic. Well, you know, not badly done at all. But, you know, just a bit mainstream 1980s, 70s kind of good bog standard magic.
Just stop. We need to tell people what our episode is about.
Why?
Because no one's interested in Paul Daniels. Not even Paul Daniels is interested in Paul Daniels.
No, Paul Daniels is... Because he went on Wife Swap with Vanessa Feltz.
Oh, God, see, now you're making another... Look, the point of this episode is we have quite a lot of overseas listeners, so we thought we'd do some overseas Sunday supplements.
Yeah, so basically... I'm telling all our overseas listeners about Paul Daniels.
What paper did you buy, Izzy?
Paul Daniels magic paper. I decided, I went into the depths and breadths of a London newsagent and I reached down and I pulled out the Wall Street Journal.
Nice.
Which is quite nice because Wall Street Journal is American, though it's owned by Rupert Murdoch, who is, of course, Australian.
It's a paper for Puritans delivered by criminals.
That is its logo.
I got Ireland's Sunday Independent.
And you're not talking about islands, you're talking about Ireland.
Ireland, yes.
Yes.
The land of Ire.
Yes. Because it's the only place on the planet you can get true Ire, really fresh Ire. Yeah. And you go over there, it rains on you, you drink alcohol, and then you have a good long Ire.
What's international speak? What's Esperanto for cut out and keep? It's probably cut out and keep.
Don't throw this away. Oh, you threw it away.
I don't know if that's Esperanto. I think that's hippie.
Oh, I thought it was Essex. I thought that's what you meant.
Our international show so far has been very, very, very Anglo-centric.
Well, of course, that's because we own the world, or we used to, and the world is just realising that it's missing us.
Well, maybe.
You see, Not only is it the Americas, right, that I'm a bit pissed off about, it's Hong Kong as well. Hong Kong should be ours. We had to give it back because we only had a lease on it. But I just don't think China wants it as badly as we do.
That is a very British way of running an empire, though, isn't it? To take a lease. Queue up to get into the country and then say, yeah, we'll only be here for 80 years. We'll sign something to that effect. It's fine.
I mean, Canada's all right because Canada still has, you know.
You said calendar then.
I did. The colander. I bought a calendar colander in Canada. Calendar colander now. It'd be like, imagine, right, as you drain your pasta, right, when it gets wet, your pasta morphs into today's date.
We need to really talk about our newspapers.
I have the Wall Street Journal, and it is the wrong shape. It is the wrong shape. It's all thin and long and wrong. It is really wrong.
Mine is huge. It's a proper broadsheet, and I haven't seen a proper broadsheet for a long time. I could quite easily sleep under it.
I have a thing called taste, which...
No, you don't.
I do.
They don't.
Yeah, it's next to books. And right. The books is quite interesting. So it only has one article about reviewing a book, but then it's literally got an entire thing down the side, which is so American because it's the best-selling books, and it goes, you know, in fiction, non-fiction, and business, and it lists which ones are best according to profit.
You mean according to sales?
Not profit, you're right. There's a difference.
But they do that in all the papers here. They have a top 10 list of bestsellers.
They don't.
It's not a mess. They do. The Times does it. The Times has a bestseller list.
That's another Rupert Murdoch paper, you see. It's virtually American.
Even though he's Australian?
Yeah.
Are you cutting and keeping anything?
Yeah. Want more growth in China? Have faith. And this
what?
Is... Yes.
Faith?
Faith.
In the market?
No. Faith. In Jesus, specifically.
What, in China?
Yeah. They say with more religious freedom will come more economic freedom. So Christianity, they think, is tied in with capitalism and is a very good way of getting rich. And to be fair, the richest things in the world are the churches, so they're not too wrong.
So the article is advocating taking a mission to China in order to spread the free market.
Traditionally, when the Chinese become rich, they buy houses or maybe they marry a second wife. But then they start to become lazy. Not so with Americans. Even Bill Gates is still working very hard. Christians not only have higher motivation, but will use their wealth for the benefit of others.
How?
Well, you know, Sam Walton of Walmart had a lot of wealth, but he still lived simply, and he used his wealth to bless a lot of other people. Walmart. But,
he
you
used
know,
it to bless people. Well, you can do that if you're poor. How does being rich give you any more blessage than being poor? I don't understand the logic. Is it the idea that if you're Christian, you'd be giving it away? That sounds filthy.
To be honest, I don't entirely disagree with this sort of article. I really don't, because I do see that if you look at the rise of Protestantism and the rise of capitalism, they're virtually the same kind of philosophy. The idea of weighing up of sins and the idea of weighing up of profits, very, very similar compared to something like Catholicism, which is all about bowing and grovelling. Don't you think?
To an extent, I think you can't unlink the two things. But to argue that the notion of a market came out of Protestantism, I think is a slightly backwards argument, isn't
That's it? A backwards argument, but there's a fear, see, and it's a very human fear, and it's one that both right-wing conservatives and the Taliban have, which is the idea that wealth and prosperity corrupt. And if you have a firm grounding in society, and by society, that could be, you know, a group, a collective, a commune, or indeed a church, you get actually a bit of morality put in there and you actually think about the impact your life has on other people rather than isolating yourself, because I think wealth is extremely isolating. So it's not necessarily a bad idea. It's just a shame that you have to bring the supernatural into being nice to people.
Yeah, exactly. It's an almost moot point. It's saying we should be nice to each other.
See, I'm a really bad atheist, you see, Simon, because I really like the church, but I hate supernatural.
Are you talking about the actual buildings now?
Yeah, they're pretty.
My article that I'm going to cut out and keep isn't because I like it.
Well, mine wasn't particularly either. It's just interesting. So what's yours about?
Reality TV.
Yeah.
It's talking about how it... Well, I don't really know what it's about. It seems to start off by talking about Jodie Marsh, who, for anyone who doesn't know, isn't worth knowing. And
well, I mean, you say that, but I don't automatically hate her. She's just, you know, a bit...
No, I don't hate her at all. I'm just saying she isn't worth knowing. I'm completely apathetic to her presence. And then it goes on to talk about the rise of reality TV and give a brief history of it, and it gets it wrong, which annoys me straight away.
How does it get it wrong?
Well, it completely misses out the most seminal reality TV show ever, which was Sylvania Waters in, I think it was the mid-90s, really. A couple of years before proper reality TV kicked in, but it was an Australian family. And then it goes on to talk to Peter Bazalgette, who is the guy who invented Big Brother.
And a really good name.
And his dad built the sewers under London. Or his ancestors.
What is a Bazalgette? Because isn't that a type of printer?
No, it's what you fire a tiny puppet fox out of.
All right.
Again, another very Anglo-centric reference there.
Yes, it is. Boom, boom.
And then it lets Peter Bazalgette sort of make a pro-argument for reality TV. And then she spends the next three paragraphs just giving her own opinion and not letting him respond to this opinion. And she's going, oh, I think it corrupts, and I think things like Big Brother get us used to the idea of having cameras everywhere, and I think that's evil for civil liberties. And it's almost this idea that Big Brother is somehow indoctrinating us for the establishment to be able to record our everything, and it's just such a tired, boring argument. I mean, I don't know where I stand on the idea of CCTV, but the argument that somehow Channel 4 and Endemol have been put to service by the government in order to allow for this infringement of civil liberties is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it has no basis other than her own head.
Exactly.
So I think basically, Simon, I win.
Yeah, all right. Time to review the reviewers now, which is a bit ironic. I hate reviewers, and here I am reviewing a reviewer in a review section. But in my defence, I know the futility of my review because it's about a review that's already happened in a paper that you can no longer buy.
Wow.
Thanks.
What's your review reviewing?
The Mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
That looked well crap and also worth my money when I saw that thing in the cinema. I went, well, that looks awful. But I do want to see it.
That's what it's for, isn't it? It's supposed to be silly. It's supposed to be pap, and it's just popcorn. It's supposed to be entertaining for an hour and a half, and then you leave
and
forget.
It's not cop porn.
It's not cop porn, no.
No.
Which would be John Nettles in a bath of honey.
Ooh. Once again, not really appealing to the international audience with John Nettles there.
No, Midsummer Murders is very big in America, apparently.
Is it?
Apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Bigger than Morse?
Well, I don't know if it's bigger than Morse. I haven't got the official overnight, I'm afraid.
I think John Thor is taller than John Nettles.
I don't. I think John Thor's shorter than me.
No, but John Nettles is tiny.
Yeah, but so
he walks into those cottages without ducking.
But then Inspector Morse stands in that tiny pub in Oxford.
That is true. Which, called the Turf, and I can't stand in it.
I can barely stand in it.
It's amazing. Really low ceilings and really expensive beer.
Anyway, my reviewer is so lazy. He kind of just thinks it's funny to say that the problem with the mummy is you can't resurrect a corpse.
So he doesn't really understand the whole idea of storytelling.
No, and he also doesn't understand the point of a review, to be honest. The only, and I mean the only merit a review has is if it's well written and has something else to say. A review isn't just a précis of what they've just seen, which is what most reviews turn into.
Oh, I saw a film and all this happened. There you go. The end.
I kind of find that quite useful, though, when I want to see a film. Not if they reveal too much, but if they sort of give me a gist of what I'm about to see.
I don't.
Otherwise, you're just relying on the adverts.
Or you're relying on your own judgment when you go after you've seen it.
Oh, no. But after you've seen it, and where's the point in that? It's before you see it that's the point.
Oh, well, so you need to have your opinion formed for you before you walk into that film.
No, I need to know whether I want to go and see something, not whether I think it's any good or not.
Okay, tell me about your review.
It's not so much a review, it's sort of looking at the social impact of a book, which is quite nice. It's called True Love Waits, and it's basically picking up the series of books by a lady called Stephanie Meyer. And it's a story of a girl called Isabella Swan, who's normal, but she falls in love with a not-so-regular boy, who is a guy called Edward Cullen, who is a vampire. Huh. So it's very, very Buffy Angel from the sound of it. But she also has another friend, who is a werewolf, who's in love with her, but she doesn't love him, but he's more reliable. And they're both very, very beautiful. But the whole thing, it's really popular, but it is also, there's a very strong message of abstinence throughout it, which right. is interesting. Also, I like this review. It's written by Donna Freitas, which is a great name. She uses the phrase, do the math, which is the best, because it's maths. Everybody knows it's maths. You do the mathematics, you don't do the math. One does the maths.
First of all, I hate the phrase, but I also hate the notion that somehow the American English is inferior to British English, because it's not at all. But the point of the English language is that it's designed to evolve.
Yeah, it's fluidman.com. it's quite a nice little article, this. It's not being judgmental about whether abstinence is a good thing or a bad thing.
Does it have the other side of it? If it doesn't have the other side of it, then it is being judgmental about abstinence.
Well,
if it doesn't present the other side of the argument, it's promoting the idea of abstinence.
No, it's not. It's promoting the idea of effective communication of abstinence rather than abstinence in and of itself. It's not saying that abstinence is a good idea. It's saying that this is one way abstinence can be communicated successfully to young women.
I quite want to decide who wins this, but I might just abstain.
Yeah. Because we're not going to get down to the real rutting just yet.
What's the French way of saying article or farcical?
With an accent.
How?
Article ou farcical. I have no idea, by the way. I occasionally get French communists around my house asking me, no, seriously, they come around and we drive them to places and they look out in our fields and they go, les lapins, pourquoi tu ne manges, like that. Because they look at the rabbits in the field and don't understand why we don't eat them all. But mainly because we have things like Sainsbury's, where you can buy rabbits. I don't know if you can buy rabbits. You can buy chocolate rabbits.
Stop.
I like chocolate.
Stop. We need to do article or farcical.
Okay. It's going to be a long episode, isn't it? Right. In the Wall Street Journal, there are many, many funny American things. And I want you to guess, Simon, which one I have made up. And it is quite difficult.
Okay.
I've got two articles and two advertisements. One of them is made up. First one, how American is this? Is memorizing sports trivia good for the brain?
Was that your American accent?
Yeah.
The best way to do an American accent when you're English is to do it as a Southern American accent, I reckon.
Fans decide the election and bubblehead.
So I was actually laughing at the accent again, not the actual...
What? You can't just laugh randomly.
I can't just laugh at you being funny.
No, you can't do that. That's just not allowed.
I won't laugh at you being funny from now on then.
Well, that means you're going to have to laugh at me not being funny. And if
the next one, please.
Our customers are the most loyal in business intelligence.
Okay.
An unforgettable place, the most unforgettable characters, a name you will always remember, Guernsey.
I can't believe the Wall Street Journal has a tourist information advert for Guernsey.
It's not, it's for a book called Guernsey. It's a really amazing American book called Guernsey. Which is funny, because Guernseys are some shit islands off the UK.
Okay then, so, sports trivia. Have you ever sat and listened to the commentary on baseball?
No.
It's amazing. They're like RBIs and infield flies and...
Well, I have a few infield flies, especially at a picnic. I get quite a few infield flies.
Sports trivia, I say, is an article. Bobblehead, I assume they're using it as some sort of divination. Is Obama going to win and it nods? Or is McCain going to win and it shakes its head? I assume that's what they're doing with kind of idiomotor.
It's slightly more silly than that, but yes, that's kind of it.
Okay, I'm going to say that's an article. Loyal businesses, I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to say that loyal business...
The most loyal in business intelligence.
Yeah, I reckon that's the farcical. Business intelligence is farcical.
And an unforgettable place, the most unforgettable characters, a name that you'll always remember, Guernsey. You're saying that's an article?
Yes, I'm saying it's kosher.
Hey, Simon.
Yeah?
It is kosher. That is a genuine ad, and it made me spit my tea all over the place.
Nice.
Memorising sports trivia, good for the brain? That's a genuine article, which I thought was very, very cute.
Sorry, what did they conclude?
Yeah.
It is good for the brain.
Yeah, right. It's memorising anything is good for the brain and makes you happy.
Makes you happy?
Yeah, everything's about happiness in America. They've got it completely backwards. It should be about vague, aching misery, but it's not. It's all about being blissful.
Yeah, that's why the world aspires to be British, is it?
Yes, it should aspire to be British. You know, we know our place.
Right, so that leaves a face-off between Bobblehead and Loyal Business.
And once again, Simon, yeah. You said that Loyal Business... Yeah. You think I made that up?
Yeah.
You are wrong to think that, sir.
You made up the bobbleheads.
I did make up the bobbleheads. I just thought of an American word.
What,
and then...
bobblehead?
I was supposed... It's either that or cheeseburger, but I thought you might think that cheeseburger was one I... And fans decide election by cheeseburger. That probably would have worked as well, to be honest. That sounds like very an American thing. But no, so that's it, really. You're wrong. Haha, I win. You're a loser. Loser Simon. Simon, loser done. Because it's all about winning. We're American now. It is all about winning. I'd be such a good American.
I'm Irish today, though.
To be sure you are.
But you could be American Irish, and that would be really confusing.
No, I won't be American Irish. I'd be British American. I'd be like Lovejoy in Deadwood.
Well, it's an international flavour edition, so we should talk about travel.
Yes, we should.
Have you got a travel section?
Of course I don't.
Nor do
American
I.
Because don't know how to set out supplements. They're all about finance.
Your Wall Street Journal is full of financial...
Exactly! It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be like Sesame Street.
Oh, it should be like Sesame Street. That would be cool. Is there a Big Bird on the front?
No, there should be like fluffy, squeaky pages. Also, I've got a weather watch here, which is the only time like Europe's mentioned, other than that we're not buying their cancer drugs because we're British, and our healthcare system run by NICE. They don't mention the NHS. They don't mention like socialised medicine because, you know.
That's evil.
Yeah. But according to this weather map, London is in the 60s.
Well, as in Carnaby Street and Jaguary types and stupid hats.
As in Austin Powers version of the 60s, it's orange.
Cool.
I mean, Budapest in the 80s, which is just not fair.
That's about right, though, I would have thought.
Parts of Russia in the 70s. You know, Spain is in the 90s. I don't understand. What is all this?
I think it's Fahrenheit, Isabel.
Fahrenheit?
Fahrenheit.
No. That doesn't measure anything. That's just a weird backward system. That's like measuring money in shillings. I mean, it's in the hundreds in Nevada. That's right. Quite toasty.
Well, is it though? I don't know. I mean, that could be 12 degrees Celsius. I don't know what the
Well, it's quite
exchange
dark red on a map. So unless, of course, like Fahrenheit is backwards.
Could be. Their political colours are backwards, aren't they? Because the Republicans are red and the Democrats are blue.
Exactly, and red, as we all know, red is socialist colours.
Yeah.
That's obviously. But then again, it's not like the Democrats are socialist. It's just that they don't, you know, they don't mind it.
They're supposed to be the left party, though, aren't they?
But there aren't.
No, I know. I know they're not, but they're supposed to be.
They're liberal, as in they don't really care what goes on during the bedroom, and therefore greater centralisation of the government. Whereas Republicans are also for greater centralisation of the government, but they don't mean it.
Which one's the elephant?
That's a Republican.
Okay, and what's the other one? A mule.
It's donkey.
A donkey.
Little donkey.
It's definitely not a mule.
Little donkey.
So, I haven't got a travel section either.
But, according to this, we've only got London and Dublin.
What's it in Dublin? Because that affects me, because I've got Irish paper.
Dublin, I think, is roughly 50s, but that's written on Scotland, not near Dublin. It's just saying that's where Dublin is.
In Scotland.
Yeah. Wow. Also, they've got the different types of fronts. You've got a warm front, you've got a cold front, you've got a stationary, which is where you get loads of pencil sharpeners dropped on you. You get showers, you get rain, you get tea storms.
Is that what happens in Boston Harbour?
Don't mention Boston Harbour to me, oh, yeah. I'll get upset again. Waste of good tea. You get snow, you get flurries, which is quite nice.
Isn't that what McDonald's sell?
Oh, McFlurries, they're quite nice, they are. I like them. They're doing Cornetto Mint McFlurries at the moment. It's like cold, bad toothpaste.
So basically, neither of us has a travel section. So which one of us wins? Who's got the best not travel section?
I've got an event forecast, which will beat it, which is the Tug Fest at LeClaire, Iowa, a tug of war across the longest river in the USA, now through Sunday, with a high of low of 80 to 57 and a high and low of 86 to 61.
I'd be more impressed if that was down the length of the river rather than across it.
One side would be very much advantaged, though.
Tidally, you mean?
Well, just with the flow of the river, yeah. They'd be getting pushed backwards, and the other side would be getting pushed forwards.
Okay, well, you win the travel section for some reason, although I don't quite know why. Time then to decide who has won our internationally flavoured Sunday supplement. Un supplement de Sunday. No, hang on. Dimanche, innit?
Well, we're only really doing international in terms of France, and then, because that's the only language we can do. Ich spreche ein bisschen Deutsch. Nespa.
I can count to four in Japanese.
Nice. I can say konnichiwa. I can say o wang gita, which I think means I play the guitar.
I wang the guitar.
But it's not even, because like that, I think that's Cantonese. And in Cantonese, you don't have tenses. So it doesn't make sense like that. You have to say o wang gita right now, or o wang gita yesterday, or o wang gita in 5 minutes. You know, right. You need to have the object of time in there because they don't do tense.
So mine, on its downside, isn't really got much Irish stuff in it. It seems to be a bit more obsessed with mainland Britain.
That's
weirdly.
A bit.
It is a bit weird. I mean, all the reality TV stuff was talking about British shows.
Well, in many ways, I see that as a positive, Simon, because the best place you can possibly be in the world is Britain. So, I mean, for example, my Wall Street Journal, although ostensibly American, was printed in London. So that gives it a certain amount of credibility.
But shouldn't that technically disqualify it as an international paper?
Well, you can't get the Wall Street Journal in Oxford, so no.
But that just means Oxford's rubbish.
No, it does not mean Oxford's rubbish. Oxford, as you know, isn't rubbish. It's just not very foreign.
Okay, I think you've disqualified yourself there.
I think that you smell.
Well, that really isn't the best argument. That
well,
proves
no, well,
that I'm
you
right.
Would say that, but you smell. So you smell like a stinky, 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 stinky pants smell.
I think that pretty much proves that I've won because Izzy's starting to be childish.
You
because
smell.
She doesn't know how to lose.
Well, I think you smell. I think you smell like a loser, you know.
So this
whatever happens, you just smell slightly of pain.
This week, the paper you should have bought.
I had all the best articles.
Overseas.
You smell.
Last week.
Not like a nice vanillary smell or anything like that. No, like cat piss.
The Irish Sunday Independent.
Dead cat piss.
Tune in next week.
But make sure you wear a clothes peg on your nose because it'll smell like dead cat piss.
Izzy's lost and she's a bad loser. And we were having an argument
I'm
in the pub
I'm not a bad
yesterday.
Loser. I'm the best loser, I think you'll find. I'm the best loser in the world. I'm a good loser. I'm a better loser than you will ever be.
Izzy was trying to convince me in the pub yesterday
I
that
won at losing
she's
something.
Very good at losing.
I'm very good at losing. I'm the best loser.
We now
loser
have
in
documentary
world.
Evidence to prove that she's wrong.
Don't try to pretend that you're putting together a documentary on me. I am so the best loser in the world ever.
So clutching somehow victory from defeat, Isabel.
Thank you.
Keep writing to us at sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. Come visit our website at www.sundaysupplement.com. Join our Facebook group, all that sort of stuff.
Write a review for us on iTunes. We've got a couple of really nice ones. Thank you very much. If you write a review, you may even get your name read out on the air, even if it's a bad one. If you hate the show, write a review saying you hate it. If you like it, don't say you hate it, because Simon will cry.
Because I'm a bad loser.
You're a very, very arrogant winner, you know, Simon. I think you're being a bit cruel. You know, you don't have to sort of wave your hand in somebody's face. You could have a bit of humility.
Well, I wanted you to smell it.
Well, I can smell you from here, which considering we're in different towns, you need a wash.
People have been asking me why I always let you win, and this is the reason.
What, because otherwise I tell them that you smell?
No,
they know you smell.
Otherwise you turn into an 8-year-old.
They know you smell. They know you smell. Believe me, everybody knows you smell.
You essentially turn into an 8-year-old, is he?
I think basically what will happen is that, you know, however much you smell, I think NASA might have to send you up in a rocket. You might get your dream of being an astronaut just because you smell so bad. Nobody wants to be within a 3,000-mile radius of you.
Tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.